Okay, welcome back to the steps of being a disciple. We've been talking about the mandate from Jesus was to go make disciples. In our very initial session, we talked about you can't make a disciple, but you can choose to be a disciple. And really, that's the real issue. And so we've prepared this material to help us to see, I believe, that there are four steps that are absolutely imperative for us to be a disciple. So we've already covered one of those steps. Number one is that you have to have an encounter, life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You need to be baptized in water, and you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the main point of that is you have to have an encounter, a life-changing encounter with Jesus. The second step is that you've got to discover the truth. When Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he's not kidding. You can't grow without the Word of God. We also use, which is the beginning of this session also, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It said they could, after these first disciples, the first church was started, it said that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and we talked about that last session, and then it says doctrine and fellowship. The word is koinonia. It means community, association. It means interchange. It means there's a connection greater than just a casual, hi, I know you. They were very connected. They shared things together. They ate together. They fellowshiped together. They encouraged one another. So if we believe what the Bible says, you can't literally grow without being in the Word and being connected to other believers. So that's what I want to talk about in this session. Are you connected? You know, and I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about attending meetings. I'm not talking about just being you and Jesus alone. But when there's a crisis in your life, are there people there that you can count on? Otherwise, you're not connected. Another thing to think about, are you connected enough so that you can be a help in time of need to somebody? We need each other. Now, I want to start by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, sort of a lengthy passage, but I want to read it because I think it's important for us to understand what Paul is telling the church at Corinth. Beginning in verse 12, it says, for the body is one, it has many members, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In that one verse, he says one body three times. There is only one body. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, we've been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So there's only one way to be in the body of Christ, and that's what we said in our session about having an encounter with God. You've got to be born again. So you're either in the body or you're not in the body. But if you are in Christ, then there's only one body. Now, there's many members, but there's only one body. Now, he goes on to explain that the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Question. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has placed each or set each member in them in the body as he pleased. Now let me just stop there and make some comments. What he's saying is that my body, my physical body, which he's using as a reference, it's made up of a lot of different parts. And all the parts are not connected. I mean, my hand's not connected to my head, and my foot is not connected to my elbow. No, he composed the body exactly as he wants it to be. He has set us in so that we need to understand that the hand has a different function than the foot. The eye has a different function than the hearing, but they're all very important. And I can assure you, when some of my parts didn't work, it hurts. your body does not function properly. And so he's making the correlation here between the physical body and the spiritual body of Christ. Verse 19 says, "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body." Again, he's making an emphasis here. There's only one body. There's only one way in, that's through Jesus Christ. And once you're in Christ and you're born again, you're in the body of Christ. There's only one body. There's only one. "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these he's bestowed greater honor, and the unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or no division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer, and if one member is honored, and all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Well, so what is Paul saying here? He's saying that we need each other. We're the body of Christ. My body needs all the parts functioning. If the parts don't function, my body suffers. And there's parts inside my body that are not visible, but listen, they're very important too. And when they don't work, really got a problem. So his whole purpose here is explaining something, how much we need each other. Now I want to go to Ephesians. I'm just going to look at a couple of selected verses here, basically emphasizing the same point. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, said, "He put all things under his feet and gave him," talking about Jesus, "to be the head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So Jesus is clearly the head, and we are the body. And he's just saying, look, we are the church, the living organism, not a building we go to, but the living organism is the body of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Wow. So Paul uses the different kinds of descriptions describing the body of Christ. He says we're a building. But my point I want to make here is, again, connection. The building, you've ever seen a building go up? I mean, they put all the parts together and they hammer them in or weld them in if it's a metal building. But whatever, it's a very close association. And that's the point he's trying to make, is the body of Christ, we have to be connected one to another. We can't just attend church. We can't just go to a meeting. We can't just listen on the internet. We have to be connected. I am not complete without you. Well, let me go ahead and finish reading that, because it's the next passage and I want to look at. Chapter 4, verse 11. "He himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So there's two things there, that these gifts are given. These are people gifts, are given to the church to equip us, to actually set us in place. It has the context of setting a bone in place. And that, if you have a broken bone, it can heal, but it's better when it's set into place. When it's set in, it's better. It'll grow back properly. And so we're supposed to be doing the work of ministry, or actually the work of service, and we're also supposed to be edifying the body of Christ till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wow. Now, that actually is one sentence, and I remember going in school, I couldn't write sentences like that. But the point here is, again, the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to effective working, but every part does its share. What he's saying here is that I need you and you need me. We need each other. And if we're not properly connected in the body of Christ, we're not going to grow. And you think about this. Here's a principle that we have to understand, that if the group you're connected to, you're going to be part of that group, whichever way that group goes. That's why gangs, people gather around, even though they may not be doing very good stuff, but there's a camaraderie. They support each other. Well, we need to be connected to people going the same direction. If you're not connected with a group of people that are pursuing God, I'm telling you, you won't either. And so it's imperative, and it's not just going to church. You need to attend and connect into a local congregation. You need to be involved with a group of people moving the same direction. We need each other. There is that Christ set this up. We are the body of Christ, and we need to be connected. Let me emphasize this by telling my own personal story. Susan and I went to college together, and we were at SMU in Dallas, and we attended church even in college. We probably weren't that regular, but we attended this church. And after college, we got married, and then we continued to attend the same church. A lot of our friends in college had moved away and moved back to their home in their home state, their home cities, and done different things. But we continued to attend this church. We didn't have any children for the first few years of our marriage. And then we had our first child. And, you know, when you have your first baby, you don't really want to go to the nursery at church and take your baby there. And so I went to church a couple of times by myself. And I remember one of the times I was sitting there and I was looking around the congregation. I didn't know one person in that church. I could not identify one person in congregation. Now, I knew the names of the people on the platform, but I didn't know anybody at all. I would come and I would go and I would listen, and I was a fairly regular attender, but I didn't know anybody. And at the same time, Susan's sister was having, and her husband were having marriage problems, and we didn't know how to help. We didn't know what to do in trying to help them. And I remember we were invited to go to a smaller church that hadn't been going very long, and some friends of ours invited us to go, and we went. And we thought, you know, it's time for us to get involved, to get connected. There were a number of couples that were sort of our age, similar, with young children. And so we did. We made the transition. We got to this church. And I remember telling, we were discussing this, and I said, Susan, we are never, ever going to attend church again and not get connected. We are going to get involved. And so we did. We went to their church services. We went to their small groups that they had. Whatever they did, that's what we did. And we engaged. And we connected with people that were pursuing God. And we really, it was an outstanding time, a great time in our life. Years later, as I shared in my earlier session in 1982, when we encountered the Holy Spirit and continued growing, God showed me that the decision that we made to never attend church again without getting involved, getting connected, was one of the most important decisions that we ever made in our life. Because what that did, the Lord showed me a picture. Years ago, we had some land on the Brazos River. And the Brazos River, unless it's flood stage, it just sort of meanders and wanders around. And then on the edges of the river are a lot of times little eddies that get caught just get pretty stagnant, actually, because it's not in the flow. And the Lord said, that's where you were. You were in church, but you were sitting on the side, not involved, not engaged. You were not connected. And the decision to get connected moved you from sitting in that little stagnant area into the river and the stream, and then I can direct you and move you. But you had to be connected. You had to make that choice. That choice, looking back, was probably one of the most important decisions we ever made. It was a choice to connect. It was a choice to get involved. It was a choice. Yeah, it's risky. People say, well, I've been hurt in church. You're going to get hurt if you're going to get connected in relationships, because people are going to disappoint you. God never disappoints you. But the emphasis I'm trying to make is how much we need each other. We need each other. I am not complete without you. You are not complete without me. We need each other. We need to connect and help each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to call each other on. We need to do just what we read there in Ephesians. There is growth that happens by iron sharpening iron. We need to be connected. Yeah, it's risky. Yes, and you'll probably get hurt, and there'll probably be things that'll happen. But I tell you what, need to be involved. So I want to encourage you. You need to be connected. You need to get into a local church. I personally believe it's not a consumer decision. It's a decision of where God says you're supposed to be. Because wherever God wants you to be, that's the best place for you to be. You may say, well, I don't like this, and I don't like that. Again, we're looking at it from a consumer. We need to say, Lord, where do you want me to be connected? And then get connected. Get in a small group. Get together with people. Find some people that you can walk with together. Because I want to tell you, in time of need, that's where your help is going to come from. In time of need, that's where their help is going to come from, you helping them. But we're going to encourage one another. We've had some lifelong friends that we started over 50 years ago, walking together and encouraging one another, and we're still friends to this day. And just recently, I had the opportunity to reconnect to some of those friends that we walked together, encouraging one another in the things of the Lord. And you know something? We're still doing the same thing. We're still pursuing God. We're still connected to the body of Christ. We're still calling each other on. We're still linking arms with others and still helping others grow. So I want to pray for you, because I know how important this is. If we're going to continue, we must continue to be steadfast in the word and in relationship and fellowship, and we need both. So let me pray for you. Father, we love you and bless you, and we thank you that we are the body of Christ. We thank you that you're the head. And Lord, we want to properly fit so that we can connect one to another as you've created us to do. I'm asking that you would help us right now make a decision to connect into the body of Christ. It's risky, but I'm asking, Lord, to help us to see how important it is to be connected to other believers. Lord, we are your body. There's only one body. There's not many bodies. There's only one. Only one way in is through you. You said you are the truth and the way and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you. So I pray, Lord, that we'd be a people that we would properly connect. And Lord, not only do we connect, but we would receive and we would give. There is that connection, that true fellowship that God wants, that you want us to have. And I pray for everyone that's watching or listening to this, that Lord, you'd help us to really have clear direction from you to know where to connect, and how to really be an effective member of the body of Christ. Lord, we are so blessed. We are so grateful and thankful. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to guide us and direct us and to help us to really fit so that we can grow and that we can help others grow. We can help people in time of need, and we can receive help in time of need. So, Lord, we are so thankful and grateful. Thank you, Lord, that we are the body of Christ. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.